I love you, but I don't know what to do now. You see, it's been a big Christmas for myself inside. I put on weight and I feel really tired. I'm trying to start a new year, new me. Trying to get a new chest, baby, you'll see. But money's tight and my baby's alright. But I can't afford the gym, can't afford to fucking fight. I need someone to help me out, cause I need to say. I need to sweat all day to get my chassis K. And then I see this blazer called the Airflow 2. They give me money off all the things I wanna do. I wanna sweat, wanna earn what I can. Wanna go to the gym, classes and I ran. And then I see Airflow give me half price, a better price to go do the things at night. And things I love, things I do all day. Hitting gym racks, press ups and the ray. And then I tap dance all the way, cause in London town, it's going my way. I can do any class, any gym, anywhere. And make money back if I fucking care. If I got a membership, I can rent it out nice. And if I don't have membership, I can get it a half price. Or better, you hear me now? I'm working out cheaper than everyone in this town. And my chassis strong, and my baby's right. I'm gonna fucking boss 2020 for your right. And if you wanna join me or two, download Airflow, start out your chassis too. Yo, all you gotta do is download Airflow. And if you wanna get the cheapest gym classes in London, then you can get them through the app. No need to go anywhere else. The cheapest, best classes in the world through the app. And guess what? If you have a gym membership and you're not using it for some peculiar reason, then you can make money. So stop causing treason and download the Airflow app. Either way, and start your chassis and your financial security today.
More lies, more lies, more lies, more lies.
Pints are bloody free. Have I told you I've got a high basic salary? Making money, now that's the key.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to EP 116, the Rigbiz Podcast, and I'm joined, as always, by Mr. Archie. Archie, why do you have such a big smile on your face? Hello. Why are you looking at me so weirdly?
Hello,
what's going
champion.
On?
No, mate, I'm just, you know, I'm feeling good.
What?
I don't want to go on about it, but I'm still doing dry jam.
Oh, for God's sake, mate, I've been seeing it all over your socials all
mate,
weekend.
I feel incredible. Sleep is up, business development is up, and my gym stats are... through the roof.
Through the roof, yeah.
I'm loving life, mate. Don't get me wrong. I am looking forward to getting on the source come February. Six Nations.
I bet you are.
I'm going to be back on it. But I am really embracing this sobriety.
Yeah, just
getting so much done, you know, caught up with friends this weekend, so it's been brilliant.
Well, I did see that at you on your socials, and you were hanging out not with the boys for a change, you were hanging out with a little chica.
No, that's my friend Tinks. Let me just get something straight.
All right.
You know, it is 2023, Fred. You can have girls that are friends.
Okay.
And I've known Tinks for ages, since university. She's a great girl. I've got so much respect and time for her, because although she is a girl, no doubt about it, you know, she is just like one of the boys. Her chat is on point. You know, she loves the sport, loves the beers, you know, properly gets stuck in with the boys. And she's great fun on a night out.
Is there anything going on between the two?
No.
The way you do that message, it looked like the look of love.
No, God, no.
Is she good looking?
No. I mean, to some people, I'm sure she is. And I always say to her, you know, look, Tinks, if I can meet a girl that has your sort of chat and banter, you know, and was good looking, I would snap them up like that. But I mean, like, Tinks does well on night out. She's actually got with quite a lot of professional rugby players.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah,
that's
but
good.
Unfortunately, a lot of those, well, actually all of them are front five players, like props, hookers, locks. And I just say to her, like, that is just not a good look for you. I mean, thing is, majority of them are really ugly and have no banter. And I just said, you're not really going to marry any of them. But it is quite good for the banter. Like, she's got some really good photos on her phone of, like, some of the guys. It's quite interesting. Like, you think some of them would be quite well endowed, but they're not.
Well, talking about rugby, talking about the front five, obviously Steve Borthwick taking over at England. But Eddie Jones is back as Australia head coach within a week of leaving.
I don't know what to say. I mean, it is unbelievably bad business.
Yeah.
I mean, what is Bill Sweeney doing? I want to connect with Bill Sweeney. I've got some pretty interesting questions to ask him.
I can imagine he did.
Because
yeah.
it's just not good business.
You seem livid.
Where did this guy go to school? It's obviously not a fee-paying school because it makes no business sense whatsoever.
What would he do?
I mean, look, for instance, in my office in the city,
yeah.
if someone gets sacked, they can never, ever work for a competitor. And also, they have to leave London.
What?
Let me give you an example.
Please do.
There was a guy in my office called Harry Daniels. Bloody good bloke.
Yeah.
Great on a night out. Epic in the gym. And actually was very good at his job. Started messing around with one of the PAs that happened to be one of the senior team's wives.
Ugh,
and
Ricky.
That escalated him losing his job. Felt really sorry for the guy.
Yeah.
But he has not been able to do proper city business since he's lost his job, and he had to move to Singapore.
Well, that's a bit drastic. Chuck him out from London all the way to Singapore.
No, it made sense because his parents live out there, and so he's actually got a great life. He's now married. He's got 4 kids, but you've got staff out there to look after your children. So I'd expect he's just going to keep having children.
Live from Clapham with the CEO himself, this is Clapham News.
Here is the news from around Clapham on the 19th of January. Scientists at the well-known American University of Yale have discovered that on average, residents of the Clapham area are in the highest calorie deficit globally. After releasing his autobiography last week, Prince Harry has been banned from a number of establishments in the Clapham area. He joins a long list of other well-known celebrities, including Joseph Fritzl, Julian Assange, and Julius Cowdery. Talks at Clapham head office are rumoured to be at an advanced stage about a golf driving range being built on Clapham Common along with a members club. And in sport, Clapham Falcons are back this week in the Cup against Winchester Old Boys. They welcome their long-serving and most capped flanker, Oliver Blaisby. The match will kick off at 2:45 on Clapham Common. We look forward to welcoming you all there.
So, Archie, you never stop going on about it. You still got that big smirk on your face. We get it. You're doing dry January, mate.
Yeah, I am just one of those people that have really embraced sobriety and what it stands for. I mean, in my life, certainly in January, it's been enhanced.
Well, you've barely done it for 2 weeks. I don't think you've even done it for two weeks.
No, but it feels much longer. And, you know, it's just the amount of time I've got to do things and think about things. You wouldn't understand it, Clay.
No,
by no means am I preaching. Like, God, you know, if you want to drink, if you want to put that stuff in your body in January... Fair enough. Not me.
No.
January's for being dry.
Your body's a temple. But man who's...
Come February, oh yes please. Six Nation and Guinness. Oh yes please.
Well, Archie, we get it, mate. Your body's a temple. But can we talk about the guest this week? I still don't know who we have.
Well, the guest we got this week is actually on the subject of sobriety.
Right, okay.
Me and him a lot in common. We are both sober. I mean, I've been sober for just over 2 weeks, actually, Freddie.
Yeah.
But this guy's been sober for a year.
Well.
And he's one of my favourite all-time guests. He is a seriously good boy. It's Simon Thomas for his second cap.
Simon Thomas, what an absolute legend.
So I think there's nothing else to say then. Look, if you can just pour me and him a pint of water and we'll just see what this banter is all about.
Tomo, can you hear us? Welcome to Chateau de la Chat.
Here he is. Oh my God, he's welcome. Upgraded from last time.
Wow, that is...
Have I?
Yeah,
those paychecks are coming in thick and fast.
Amazon Prime is doing well.
The freelance conveyor belt's beginning to deliver.
Yeah.
Really
yeah.
is.
That's Tomo, thank surprising. You so much for joining us. You were quite possibly one of my favourite guests we've had on, so we thought we'd have a recap as it's a new year, and for me, it's a new me.
Well, also, a lot's gone on.
A lot has gone on.
Both of your lives, but especially Simon. I mean, Simon's gone from strength to strength. You, Archie, have... You've had a child.
No, my life is incredibly fast-paced.
Is it?
Yeah, if I blink, you know, I miss a deal. Yeah, I have looked into...
How is the kid? Not blinking.
Yeah, it's great. It's great, Tomo. Yeah, you know, we have a very magical moment every night, which I'm sure you do, where I have, you know, a little cuddle just before I give it to the nanny to give her a bath and put it to bed. And it's a lovely, lovely 2 minutes. But yeah, no, she's great. I mean... We're like ships in the night, you know. I had to explain to her very young on, you know, very early days, just say, look, I'm out here, I'm a single father. I'm out, you know, trying to deliver, making sure you have a, you know, a private education. And that's not doesn't come cheap these days. Plus, I want to go on holiday 4 to 5 times a year. So, you know, add it all up. You need to be making the deals. And I think she agrees. I mean, she
is the nanny Swedish, Brazilian.
She is actually Czech, and she's a lovely gal, great person. Doesn't speak much English, but that's fine. She knows her way around an iron, and she is fantastic with little Johnny Haskell Abendanon. So it's all good. It's like we're a married couple in many ways, because we don't have sex and we sleep in different bedrooms.
Delightful. What a lovely setup.
No, it is.
I like it.
It's great. It's a fantastic part of my life. You know, everyone said it would change your life having a child. To be honest, it hasn't that much, but I think I've just got the right help in, and you know, that's allowed me to maintain my fast-paced life.
Can I just ask you something about the Soups Trader? Is it gone? Is it a halfway house? I mean, Freddie, oh, you've still got a bit of a Soups Trader. Archer, yours is
great, like it is.
Great
kind
question.
Of not there anymore.
Great question. And we will come more into this, ST. But basically, at the beginning of the year, I just thought, you know what? It's a fresh start. You know, people want to see if I'm hiding anything. And I took it off. I just let this area of my skin, you know, just breathe for a moment, and it will be back in, you know, 2-3 weeks, and business will resume. But it's just nice. A lot of people say I look younger, which is great. But, you know, a lot of people ask me where it is, but it will come back. It's just, you know, just to give my face a break, really.
Are you finding business harder without it? Like, you used to say it was the key to business.
The Japanese love my top lip banter, but that's why I wear a face mask when I do my Zoom calls with them. So they have no idea.
Filter.
But yeah, a lot of people are missing it. I do miss it. I miss stroking it and contemplating what cryptocurrency I'm going to buy next, or, you know, what Biltong am I going to, you know, invest in next. So, yeah.
Obviously, the last time we saw you in the flesh was when you did an incredible job emceeing, you know, let's be honest, the biggest fight of the century.
Biggest fight last year.
What a night.
When you emceed it, you did a brilliant, brilliant job. Now, firstly, were you surprised to see Curzon so easily destroyed by Pano?
Well, I'm going to be kind to Archie, because I've been to a few of those amateur boxing nights for charity. They're always a lot of fun for the people who go and watch. And my wife, Doreena, still rates it as one of her finest nights. You stuck us on a very good table, very good banter. We had James Royalty. Haskell and Chloe, Mr. Tyndall and his wife, Zara. We had Freddie Burns before the drop goal. Oh. Yeah. We were actually at that match, so it was just that bit more special for Doreena, knowing that she had been on the same table as Freddie Burns before he popped it over in the final at Twickenham.
You're all welcome.
It was a magic night, but I'm not buttering you up here, Archie, but I take my hat off to anyone who gets in a boxing ring. Many, many years ago, I don't know if I spoke about this on the first podcast, but I trained for an amateur fight on Blue Peter and never got to the ring. So I think just the fact that you both did it, it was a rip up. It was a tear up. I was surprised by Pano. I've known him for years, worked with him for many years. I wasn't sure he had that side of him in him, but he did.
He's
but
malicious.
Well, listen, mate, both of you, malicious, both of you. It was such a good night.
It was a phenomenal night. And Simon, you did an unbelievable job. You added the piece de la resistance, to the night. That's French.
I was like a Costco Michael Buffer.
No, you were great.
You're brilliant.
A lot of people enjoyed it. Add to the drama of the night. And I'm not going to say anything. I think Pano is lucky. If I'd known he was Southpaw, it would have been a different story. But I was very honored to share the ring with him. He's a good man. And he is continually sending me black eye gin.
Is he?
Yeah, he is. Yeah. Has he sent you any?
Well, Simon's not drinking.
He did before he knew I'd quit the booze, but I've given it to my brother-in-law, who's a really appreciative. It's a lovely bottle, by the way.
It is
smart. Nice. I don't know what it tastes like, but it looks lovely.
Yeah, we've now got four, and I just put them in little Johnny Jono's room, because we've got her nursery is black, like matte black. I thought I was having a boy. Nice. I thought I was having a boy, so I thought
got it painted early.
Yeah, I thought he'd be a rugby player working in the city, or he'd be a biker with a checkered criminal past. but you know, an interesting background.
Simon, how come, you know, just finishing on the boxing, how come you never made it to the ring? Was it injury? Was it fear?
I failed the medical. We did a whole Blue Peter half hour on boxing, which was a little bit controversial. It's a kid program, and boxing does tend to divide opinion a little bit. Yeah. But we kind of did a whole program on the history of boxing, the pros, the cons. And the kind of thread running for it was that I was going to train for my first ever amateur fight. And we were following this traveler kid who lived in this this caravan on this site near White City where we were in the BBC. You know, we followed his story. He'd reached the age where he could have his first ever fight. He was incredibly confident Irish kid called Jimmy. And we began training together. And actually, interestingly, we trained at the gym called Dale Youth Gym, which was at the base of the Grenfell Tower. So I used to go there three times a week and training at that point before they hit the big time. James DeGale, George Groves were in there. We already knew by that point they didn't like each other. They tended to avoid each other in the gym. But when they came in and ripped it up on the bags or sparring, you kind of knew they were around. Just the sound of a punch bag when a proper boxer hits it is unbelievable. And yeah, I trained for 3 months. I think it's the fittest I've ever been. And I've done a couple of marathons and stuff, but just that kind of all-round fitness was amazing. And then I got to the medical like 3 days before the fight. I'm fighting in Dagenham. Jimmy, the kid, he's in his first ever fight. He's on the card. And I'm fighting some police officer in Dagenham on a Friday night. And I think it was the Wednesday, went to the BBC doctor, just lay there, went through all the tests and then went to my eyes and said, yeah, all good. Any problems with your eyes? And I went, oh, yeah. And it was one of those moments, I think I said it before, when the words came out of my mouth, as they tumbled out, I thought, that is it. And I said, oh, yeah, I tore my retina playing rugby when I was 14. And he kind of looked at me and he went, you tore your retina. And I went, yeah. And there was this kind of silence and they're filming it. And he went, I can't give you a license. And that was it. So I never got to find out, Archie, what you, because the reason why I take my hat off to anyone who does it is because ultimately you can spar with other people all you like, but you never know what it's like. And I never got to find this out, what it's truly like when someone on the other side of the ring comes at you in a proper fight. And I wanted to know how I'd react. And to this day, I'll never know.
Well, you know, obviously, congratulations in order for that wonderful night from everyone involved. But also, Simon, massive congratulations to you because it's now just over a year since you've, is it a sobriety birthday? I don't know what you call it, a sober occasion, an anniversary, whatever it is. But it's an amazing change to your life. And obviously, I've seen on your Instagram and stuff, it's really benefited you. But can you just tell our listeners, because, you know, we're always talking with the issues of gambling, alcohol, drugs on this podcast, seriously. But tell us why you decided to make the change to your life and also how it's impacted it positively.
You know, for a long time in life, I had a pretty good relationship with alcohol. I'm not going to deny this. I've had some tremendous nights over the years. With a few drinks involved. I've been to Inferno's, I've been to the Clapham Grand when we lived near the seat to Glit back in the day. So I've had some very, very good times when alcohol's been involved. And I have not, and I want to say this right from the start to those watching or listening, I have not become some anti-alcohol preacher. I really haven't. I just kind of over a long period of time recognized that my relationship with it was just not a good one. And when I kind of weighed everything up, the amount of negatives when myself and alcohol are entwined far outweighed the kind of positives. And I think with everything that happened in 2017, I think before that, my relationship with alcohol wasn't particularly good. I don't think it was a positive one, but I don't think at that stage it was probably a problematic one. But I think when my first wife, Gemma, died back in 2017, I don't think I drank for the first 3 weeks after everything happened. I think I had enough. I don't know how, actually, because I was a mess, but I had enough kind of self-awareness to know that probably mixing pain and grief and shock and trauma with alcohol would be a really, really bad mix. But I think it's when the funeral came and went. And for anyone who's gone through grief, that's really when the reality of what's happened really smacks you around the face in a really hard way, because the kind of busyness of the build up to the funeral goes, and it's not everyone disappears, but a lot of people have to get back to life and stuff. And the loneliness of what's happened really, really hits you. And I kind of snapped and I thought, I can't do this anymore. And I just started drinking, and it would always numb the pain initially. So if I was feeling that acute loneliness or anger or whatever emotion on any given night, and it was always at night because I obviously had an 8-year-old boy, Ethan, to still be there as a dad for. He needed taking to school, picking up. So yeah, I wouldn't drink in the day, but when he'd gone to bed, that's when the loneliness and kind of the gravity of how much life had changed would really, really hit you. And that's when I started to kind of battle with it. And it just got progressively worse over sort of a year, 18 months. And it took me to some really dark places. I think for anyone who struggles with mental health in particular, or grief, or anything challenging in life, and has kind of a bit of a toxic relationship with alcohol, I'd say that when those moments come, when you're really struggling, when you add alcohol into the mix, it's a little bit like pouring petrol on a fire. It just explodes. And it, you know, for a little bit, it takes you to a kind of numb place where you feel a sense of release from whatever you're feeling, but then the inevitable downward slope begins. And I just ended up in some really, really dark, dark places. And there were at least a couple of occasions where I was quite close to giving up. I mean, thankfully it didn't. I think I always had the self-awareness of Ethan. Most of all, his face always came into my mind at those points. And then really over the last sort of, before I gave up fully, just it got better, but it never went away. And I think whenever I hit stress points in life, whatever they might be, whether it's over work or stuff at home, whatever it was always my go-to thing, kind of just deal with it, have a drink or two. But again, it's just like pouring fuel on the fire for me. And it would just make difficult situations a whole lot worse. And I just got to the stage, I had a few conversations with a mate of mine who'd taken a similar decision. And he just used this phrase, which I really liked. And he talked about being the best version of yourself. And for him, he just felt with his relationship with alcohol that he couldn't be the best version of himself with that in his life. And I kind of got to the stage a year ago and I just thought, you know, I'm never going to have a good relationship with it. I think I'm too far down the line in terms of its destructive side. It's time just to stop. I think I had given it up before. But I think in truth, as I said in my post, and I try and encourage others who are maybe in a similar place to me when they ask about how you go about it, is that it has to be you that decides it. I think before, when I'd given it up, I'd given it up for others. It was to keep friends who were worried happy, or family who were worried about how much I was drinking happy. I was never doing it for me. And I think when that's your reason for doing it, there will always be resentment. So when you go out or you go to a wedding or whatever social occasion, you're just like annoyed, angry that you can't drink. And that's just not, it's a non-starter for me. It never worked. But this time I just thought, no, I want to be the best I can in life, whether that's in terms of my marriage, as a dad, in my career, whatever it might be. And I know, just for me personally, and again, I say I'm not Mr. you know, fun police now, not Mr. Anti-Alcohol, I'm really not. But just for me, I realized that if I'm going to be the best version of myself, then I've got to take that out of the equation.
You know, for me, I've got a great relationship with alcohol. For instance, you know, I take alcohol before I go to a business meeting, or if I'm feeling nervous about going on a night out, or if I'm in a social situation where, you know, I just feel like I can be a bit more fun. So I've got a great relationship. But what I'm trying to say, Tommy, like how difficult is it initially? I mean, a lot of young guys, we listen to this podcast, and they might not have a great relationship with alcohol and starting to recognize that it's probably not making the best version of themselves. What are the tips you would recommend? Because like you said, the world is changing. You don't need alcohol to have a great fun, especially if you don't play rugby.
I think, as I said before, it has to come from you. You know, if you know that this is a really, really negative influence in your life, ultimately it has to be your decision. I've been pleasantly surprised at the reaction to this, because sometimes when you say you've given up alcohol, the reaction isn't always great. I think people sometimes struggle with it and they think you are now the fun police and you're just going to be a bore to be around. And, you know, they don't always react very well. In times which I've given up in the past, sometimes the reactions I've had from people have been a bit kind of strange. They're like, oh, come on, you know, don't be such a bore and all that. I think we've got to change the narrative on that. You know, you can be the life and soul with alcohol, but you can also be the life and soul without it. But I do recognize that for some people, you know, we boys, we all put masks on in life, you know, at various stages, whether it's we're going into a work meeting, we want to put that mask of confidence on, whether it's in a social setting, we just use masks. And alcohol is a really powerful mask, because for some of us, we can become maybe the person we wish we could be without it, confident, the life and soul, the one cracking the gags and all that. And so it's quite scary for people to think, well, how do I be that version of myself if I take this out of the equation? If all I've ever known in terms of my social life over the last few years is drink and being that person. Well, who do I become without it? And I had a few messages from people saying, I don't think I could go out without it. And I try and encourage them by saying, you can't be everything all at once. If you are taking the decision to step away, you know, maybe for a period, and this is probably why Dry January is so popular, because no one really goes out. Such a dull month. It's quite an easy month to do it. I've always said to people who would ask for sponsorship for giving up alcohol in January, however good the cause, I'd always go, no, because quite frankly, this is an easy month to do it.
Yeah.
I'd sponsor you in December. That's when I might get the readies out. If you want to try and give alcohol up in December, then I'll sponsor you. But there's a lot of fear around it, you know, the fear of the person I'm going to be without it. And I think it's just, I would say to people, take it a day at a time. Don't overthink it. Don't think through all those social situations. And actually, if for a bit, you just want to kind of step out of the social scene for a month or so, just to get used to life without the booze, then do that. And then, do you know what? I know this sounds quite strong, but I think if you've got the kind of friends who are going to give you a really, really hard time for not drinking, then maybe question how good a friend they are. Because the weird thing with alcohol is that, you know, in life, if we had a drugs problem and we quit the drugs, we would applaud that person. We'd cheer them to the raft and say, you know, this is so good. If we've got a friend who smokes too much and they give up the fags, again, we'll applaud them, we'll cheer them and say, well done, that's amazing. Sometimes when people give up drink, which is a drug, which used correctly is fine, but for some people, it causes massive problems. We seem to have a bit of an issue with that. And I think that narrative has got to change.
Tom, I'm doing Dry January, and I said this weekend, you know, being sober, I just realized how beautiful Clapham Common was, you know, in the, I hadn't really realized how beautiful it was, but I heard a great tactic for anyone who is thinking about doing Dry January or pushing it further. Richard E. Grant is allergic to alcohol. I don't know if you know that, but he's allergic to alcohol.
No, I didn't.
He can never drink. And the best tip he ever got given was to drink a ginger ale, because no one questioned it. They either think it's a beer or a cocktail.
Just finishing on obviously giving up the alcohol. Obviously, last time we spoke, Simon, you've obviously had such high profile jobs on air to millions for Sky Sports and the like. But you were talking about those famous sort of panic attack moments you've had, the anxiety crawling over you. And there was that famous one when you were sort of on the toilets of Old Trafford 5 minutes before going on air. I was just wondering, having given up the alcohol, has the anxiety around your professional career, which sometimes creeps in without you realizing, helped or changed at all? Or is it still, do you think that's a different part of sort of a men's and ladies' struggles?
I still get it a little bit. I think it's coming back to what I said earlier. It doesn't exacerbate it in the way that alcohol used to. I think when I look back on previous times in my life, you know, what giving up alcohol doesn't do, if it's something you're thinking about or have done, it doesn't eradicate all these issues. It just doesn't. It doesn't mean that if you struggle with anxiety or mental health issues, or it doesn't make grief disappear. You know, that was one of the things. I went to Alcoholics Anonymous in Henley for about 3 or 4 months when my friends were particularly worried about me in kind of 2018. And the one thing I struggle with, because I think AA is brilliant, it's not for everybody, but it's worked for countless men and women down the years and still does. And I would sit there week in, week out, and someone would share their story. And then there would be a kind of group discussion. And the thing I really struggled with is that I knew that deep down, yeah, I needed to take alcohol out of my life. It was not helping in any way, shape or form. But of course, the biggest problem in my life was that I'd just gone through a really painful loss. And the ramifications of that were still reverberating massively in my life. So I had this weird thing where I'm sat there going, yeah, I know, and I'm listening to your story, I know life's got so much better, and that's really great. But I do need to take alcohol out of my life, but it's not going to solve the bigger problem. So I think you've got to recognize that if you do struggle with anything in life, taking alcohol out of the equation isn't suddenly going to mean you've got a smooth path through life and that all those issues go away. They don't. But it doesn't exacerbate them. So, and I had a little bit of anxiety around a game I did. Maybe it's because it's Old Trafford, did Manchester United against Nottingham Forest just after Christmas. And I felt a bit odd in the morning, a little bit kind of uptight. But I think what not having drunk over Christmas meant is that I haven't got the backdrop of having kind of a system and a headspace where it's been kind of affected by alcohol over the last few days. So it was very fleeting and very brief. But in previous years, I definitely think that although I might still struggle with anxiety around work sometimes, I think, like I said earlier, what alcohol will do is just kind of crank up the volume on those. It kind of exacerbates it.
Commercial break.
I'm so sorry for interrupting, ladies and gentlemen, but this news can't wait any longer. Because on the 9th of February, the Rigbiz Pod Live returns, and we are joined by one of the most incredible athletes of all time, in World Cup winner, and one of the most capped lions ever, in Mr. Simon Shaw. Standing 6'7" on the ground, he's going to share some of his craziest and loosest tales from a career which has spanned over 20 years. Plus, on top of that, you will be given your own private little networking asset when you arrive. And also, Archie will be delivering for the first time since pre-pandemic his award-winning AAA, BBB, CCC lifestyle and business course, so you'll all leave feeling more educated, entertained, and be making a lot more coin in 2023. So what are you waiting for? Why don't you go in the box in this podcast, click on the link, and get your ticket for only £15. What? But that includes a free £12 cocktail. You guys must be losing money. Well, we practically are, but we love you so much, that's why we do it. So why do you get your tickets now? Gather up your colleagues and your friends and get hold of the hottest ticket in town. We can't wait to see you there. M Street Victoria, 9th of Feb. Ciao Bella. Obviously, since you gave up booze, since you came on this pod, funnily enough, you're working a lot more in Sky Sports News, you're fronting Amazon Prime, you've reached the holy grail of 100k followers plus, which you were worried about never reaching. It just seems like your professional life.
Did I mention that?
Yeah. You did.
That's embarrassing. I'm sorry.
No, I can't believe it. Sorry, I actually loved it. But it seems like your professional life has just gone from strength to strength since you came on. Do you think that's anything to do with coming on the pod and listening to Archie's words of wisdom like he just gave you there, his nuggets of advice?
Yeah, I think it gave a little bit of rocket fuel to proceedings. I don't think it's solely that, but it's never a bad thing, is it? You know, popping up on a decent podcast.
Well, Simon, obviously a bigger present to the world for yourselves, the family, and also just the wider world was the incredible arrival of your daughter, Talitha.
Yeah.
Talitha.
Yeah.
Obviously, I mean, just amazing. You guys, new dads together. I hope you're going to be organizing play dates. We can come to that in a second.
Certainly.
But obviously, it wasn't the ideal way or the ideal scenarios around bringing her into the world. You know, Dorina was under a lot of stress and it was just crazy what I've seen and read about. So can you just tell us how manic that sort of month was before you got to a period in the build to Christmas where you could just relax?
Yeah, it was all a bit of a shock. So Talitha was due at the end of November, and towards the beginning of October, Dorina started feeling quite unwell over the space of a week. I mean, she was still going into her law firm in London to work. And over a weekend, she just had this really chronic heartburn that we just thought it's probably just a pregnancy symptom. And then she went to the work on the Monday and felt really, really rough and came home later that evening and didn't feel at all well. And we was kind of just lying there in bed that night. And I just said, you know, because at this stage, Talitha is moving a lot every day. So I said, have you felt the baby move much today? She said, no. And that was the point we thought maybe we should pop a call into the midwife. So we rang her. She said, go to hospital tonight. So we did. And she got diagnosed with something called preeclampsia and then a HELLP syndrome on top of that. And yeah, just in the space of, I kind of joked as we left the house on that Monday evening, I said, oh, we might come back as a family of four. Little did I know that that's exactly what happened. You know, later on that Tuesday, they'd said, you know, in order to preserve your health, Dorina, and also the babies, we've got to get it out today. So we went from thinking we got weeks to go, you know, we got a pram, that was it. We had nothing else in terms of stuff, to Talitha being delivered on the Tuesday afternoon. And of course, she's premature, she's 8 weeks early. So we were then plunged into the world of having your baby in an incubator, Dorina staying in hospital for a week and then coming home, and then Talitha remaining in Stoke Mandeville near where we live here. So it's a really, it's kind of just a weird mix of emotions, the kind of amazingness of your daughter being born, that she's ultimately early but okay, and then just a lot of not how you imagine it. You don't imagine coming home without your baby, and you'd see parents leaving the ward, you know, who hadn't gone into NICU, you know, the high dependency unit, and you'd see the dads, the old traditional shot of the old car seat under the arm, walking in, and then they're leaving with the baby and thinking that was supposed to be us. But we had to wait a few weeks for that moment. I think, yeah, it was three in the end, which they said she'd probably be in for 5 to 6 weeks. So we did really well. She did amazing. Dorina was just brilliant at just being in the hospital for hour upon hour, feeding her throughout the day. So Yeah, I'll be honest, lads. I'm a bit done with drama in life now. I want a smooth.
You've had your load.
Passage for the next few years.
I mean, the good news.
You need a holiday skiing. That's what you need. You need to go to Barbados.
I'd love to go skiing again.
Yeah.
Well, skiing in Barbados.
Yeah.
The good news is, though, from all that, now you've both got healthy daughters, is that they're literally the exact same age.
Yeah.
So are we thinking play dates? Are we thinking, you know, getting these girls together, having a bit of fun? I mean, what's going on, guys? You guys are dead.
Well, I mean, I don't know about you, Simon. I don't know whether you did any NCT or anything like that before. Did you?
No, we missed out on all that. No, we were about to do it the next weekend and then gone.
Me neither. The nanny took, went and met a group of people. And I'm on this WhatsApp group with new parents in my area, in the Clapham area. And I don't know if you've had this, but a lot of people seem to be competitive. But I, you know, little Johnny Jono's 3 months old now, I think. And I like just to write on the WhatsApp group like, oh, little Johnny Jono just said her first sentence. Has anyone else had that today? And just see the people, just see how they act.
I did NCT before we had Ethan, and it's a bit Marmite, isn't it? It either goes really well, and I've got friends who are still mates with their NCT class 13 years later. But I remember being forced out, strong-armed out. We had to do an evening out with the lads.
Yeah,
and I remember we went to a pub in central London somewhere, and you'd have loved this, Archie, because they were all city boys. And I literally nothing in common with them. I think I found one guy who was into his football. We talked a bit about Sky, and after about an hour, I thought, I'm done with this. And I never really saw any of them ever again. I think when there was any talk of meetups, it was like, thanks, but no thanks. No. So I was quite glad we gave it the swerve this time, if I'm honest.
No, I mean, similar thing with me, because the nanny said, look, there's all these young parents. You should really, you know, go and meet the fathers of these other babies. So I said, just before Christmas, I actually said, all right. So I told all the chaps, look, meet me at number 32, Clapham Common. I said, I wrote in the group, look, it's a great place for MILFs, if anyone's interested. and then they all turned up, and I made like three or four of them, you know, physically, I forced them to do bum funnels. I said, look, if we're going to do a proper Clapham night, this is the way forward. And I haven't really heard anything back from them since. But I'm really not up for it. I'm trying. I've got a few sort of schoolmates, you know, who've had children. So I, you know, just tap into them. Ask them, you know, what are good schools to send them to at 6 or 7? Because we're trying to find a good boarding school for, like, you know, 6/7.
Well, you were hoping earlier initially, weren't you?
Yeah, it was. I don't know if you're thinking.
Have you got a shortlist?
Yeah, well, you've got your Eatons, you've got your Harrows, but you know, when it comes down,
Paino went to Eton.
Yeah, I know, and that's what really put me off. But now I'm now thinking Cheltenham College, because that's where I went, and I think she'll go there at 7. She'll board till she's 18, and she will come out a phenomenal rugby player, but also, you know, really well rounded, and be able to, you know, have a good firm handshake. That's what I want for my daughter: a good firm handshake.
What would you do if she took up hockey in the Lent term?
Well, look, yeah, I've got to, in this day and age, all sports for all genders, Simon. But, you know, if she took up hockey, obviously I'd be slightly, you know, disappointed. But as a father, you have to be supportive. But I would, you know, I would probably cut some of inheritance out of it. I'll be honest with you. And I wouldn't be taking her on holiday. And if we're around friends, I'd tell her to not talk about hockey, because I don't want to, you know, let the team down. But I'm looking forward to when she's about 15, 16, really, because then we can have a proper conversation. I can, you know, sort of impart my wisdom on her. But at the moment, there's really not much she does. You know, she just lies there. If anything, she's a bit lazy. I find her a bit lazy around the house. You know, she doesn't do
how
much.
How old is she again?
She's three months. She's 3 months. She's got great.
What were you kind of hoping she'd be doing by this point?
I'm hoping she'd be walking around. We could play catch or something, you know, with a rugby ball. You know, at least be doing some sort of, you know, sprints on the common, stuff like that, like father-daughter stuff. But, or at least she'd be able to sit up and, like, yeah, sit up so I could put, you know, put her on the bar and have a pint and talk to people. Or at least hold an iPad so I can get, you know. Because I don't know if you know, they cry sometimes so much. I mean, I saw yesterday, your daughter was crying a lot. Yeah. And I mean, I've had to, I had a word with the nanny, I think, week four. I said, look, night times, can we cut out the crying? It just isn't working for me. I need 9 hours.
Can you say, have you got different floors? Have you got multiple floors or just a couple?
Well, we're currently in my rented accommodation, Thomas. She's in what used to be my gym, which still has a lot of gym equipment in.
Right.
So she's next door. And then the nanny is above us. But I think there's negotiations to put her in with the nanny, because I just said to her, look, it's just the noise. And I, you know, I've tried earbuds. We have a monitor in the house with the nanny has, but she has that on quite loud because she says she falls asleep. So,
well, so Simon, yeah. I must say I was a bit worried because Archie obviously follows you and, you know, keeps your words of wisdom very, very tight to his chest and follows them. But when you were talking about getting your baby off to sleep via a contact nap, I was a bit worried what Archie may think a contact nap is. I mean, are you aware of what a contact nap is?
Is that where you tackle them so hard that they sort of are slightly concussed and fall asleep?
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, then they do fall asleep. It works every time. Just not good for their long-term health.
On a serious note, Tommy, obviously you had Ethan quite some time ago. What is it like when you sort of had Talifa? Was it like brand new, or did it all come coming back to you?
There are certain bits that come back. There are other bits you just filter them out, you know, the bad nights. And Doreena sometimes said, oh, did you have this going with Ethan? And I'd, to be honest, I can't remember. I can really only remember one really bad night, but that's not to say we only ever had one bad night with him. There were others, but that's the one I particularly remember. But I find it quite challenging. I'm loving it. I've always dreamt of, you know, having a daughter as well as a son, so I feel really blessed to have both. But we've kind of got these two ends of the spectrum. So we've got like a, you know, a 14-week-old baby just in the next door room, with all of the challenges and the loveliness that goes with that. And then I've got a son who's just entered the teens, and loads of changes going on, not just physically, but emotionally, mentally. You know, the answering back has started a little bit. And, you know, parenting, you have to learn on the job, unless you've got a nanny. I've got no experience what it's like to parent a teenager. I've got some experience, obviously, with a newborn. So we're kind of balancing these two worlds, and he's been such a, you know, lovely brother. He's always wanted to have a brother or a sister, so, you know, he's so good with her. But yeah, I'm finding that quite challenging. You kind of got a foot in the newborn camp and a foot in the just turned teenager camp. And for any parents listening, you have teenagers, yeah, a lot changes, a lot of adjustments, your relationship changes. You do, I'll be honest enough to say, you kind of in some ways mourn the loss of the little boy. And then you've got to embrace the man he's becoming. So it's amazing. I love it, but it can be challenging because you're switching between two different things.
Well, at least your kids aren't so, you know, near to each other in age that they're going to be squabbling, you know, like we've been reading with the Royals, or like you and Hector. I mean, you were saying the other day that you and Hector really...
Well, I was going to say, you know,
Who's Hector? Is that your brother?
Hector's my brother, who's been on the podcast.
What a name.
He's a good guy. He's done really well. He's doing really well. He's a member of Soho House. That's how good he's doing. He's doing very well.
Oh, right.
Yeah. But
he's there.
But I remember him, he's considerably older than me, but I remember when I got to my teens and I started, you know, becoming the man that I am now, which, you know, every day I look in the mirror and think, bloody hell, I've turned out unbelievably. But when I started answering him and Hector just used a coat hanger on me, and that quickly knocked it out of me answering back. I mean, has it significantly changed? Do you have to become sort of more matey now that someone's a teenager? Do you have to become sort of a dad, but then also be less sort of coochie coochie coo?
Yeah, because I noticed it at the end of last term. So we have a little tradition where the day before a new term starts and the last day of term, I'll just take him out for a drink in Chesham, where we live, just get a Costa or something, get him one of those Frostino things. And I saw, we were just wandering, and it was the end of term, the end of the Christmas term a few weeks back, and it's about an hour after school finished, so the town is overrun by kids from his school, and we sort of parked up and walked the 2 minutes to the coffee shop, and sort of looked around, I thought, where is he? And he's in the 10-yard back zone, because he's got to that stage where He doesn't want to be walking right next to his dad. Yeah. And that's what I mean about kind of mourning the loss of the little boy, because it was never like that. But I do get it. And I wind him up a little bit and just say, oh, we've reached that stage, haven't we, somewhere? Yeah. Just a little bit embarrassed. I think he's worried I'm going to do something embarrassing.
I think it is better that way around, though, than because you've got it the other way. Your dad is 10 steps away from you, but that's his decision.
No. So I'd love my dad to take me.
I love that.
Love my dad take me for a coffee and just, you know,
if you're listening,
he doesn't listen. Oh, he's told me he doesn't, and he doesn't understand why people listen to this podcast.
Oh, God.
But yeah, fair enough.
Has he ever listened to one?
No, never listened to it. To be honest, Simon, he is bloody busy. I mean, he's now on his fifth wife. And it's funny because you were talking earlier. You were talking earlier about the, you know, the Blue Peter bit when the bit came out your mouth and you knew straight away you regretted it. And he tells me a very similar story about the time he asked my mum to marry him. Very similar story. But yeah, no, last time I saw him, he told me a very, very funny story, which I'll have to try and get him on the pod to tell about how I'm a mistake. And the night that it all happened. So he's got some brilliant stories.
Nothing sets you up in life more than knowing you're a mistake.
Simon, you have been absolutely incredible, sir. Thank you so much for giving us your time. Honestly, Simon, we'll have you on for a third time soon. Because
thank you very, very much. Amazing.
Top boys, nice to see you again.
Cheers,
mate. Yeah, thanks, and Simon. You. Take care, guys.
Thank you. Cheers. Bye-bye, mate.
What an absolute legend. Like a fine wine, just gets better and better.
Absolute champion. Yeah. He's an absolute champion.
Are you guys going to get the daughter together? Same age?
Yeah, it makes sense because he's got a blue tick. He's a very well-known figure.
Yes.
That's good for me, but also my daughter hanging out with another child whose father is a celebrity.
Yeah.
That's just good chat. That's something I can write to clients about on an email.
Oh, what has your daughter been up to this last week?
What was that?
What do you mean, what was that? That was a new jingle. New section.
New section? Well, yeah. What's the section?
The section. Well, I've been getting thousands of messages from the fans saying we need to know more about what's going on with Archie and his daughter. We want a dedicated section in the podcast going forth, just giving us weekly updates.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Yeah, so what's going on?
What, this week?
Yeah.
She just lies there, really.
Well, Archie, thank you so much for joining us for the 116th time. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah. It's amazing.
What's even more crazy in a weird way is, what a legend Simon Thomas is.
Oh, mate, he's an absolute champion.
He is a champion. Yeah, he's a really, real, really, real good champ. Guy.
Really
Hopefully
good
he'll
guy.
Come to our live show.
Yes, yeah. I got to say, I am really excited about our live show.
9th of Feb, 7 o'clock. M Restaurant, which was voted best restaurant of the year last year in London.
Yes, please.
And free cocktail upon arrival.
Great location as well.
Incredible.
People could come from all over London.
Overground, underground.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah. I've got a lot of plans there. There'll definitely be a tug of war.
Yes.
I'm hoping we can do a 50-on-50 boat race.
Oh, God.
And at least seven people are getting de-packed on that night.
Right, okay.
But more importantly, we got Simon Shaw as a guest.
What, World Cup winner in Triple Nine? Jesus Christ.
And Wasps legend.
Yeah.
Guy will have banter.
6'7" worth of banter.
I can't wait. It's going to be a hell of a night. And if anyone's been to our live podcast, they know it is loosey goosey.
Get very, very loose.
Yeah, and I'll be drinking at that point.
Oh, great.
And there's cocktails there, isn't there? Yeah.
Cocktail upon arrival free.
So, hopefully there'll be low
calorie. All you have to do is click the link in the podcast below to get your ticket. Only 15 quid. I mean, the cocktail's worth 12 quid itself.
A lot of people are coming from my office.
Oh, awesome.
So it'll be quite funny that, because I'll be doing like the pod, but I'll actually know some people that I do business with.
It'll be interesting what the dynamic's like.
Yeah, it'll be quite interesting.
So you're actually using it.
I actually love them. Some of them are really funny.
You're using it as like a networking event as well.
There'll be a chance for a lot of people to pick the brain of what has been described as London's most dynamic and up-and-coming businessman.
Is it?
That's me.
Okay.
Yeah.
We should also say, because we haven't mentioned it in a while, and it really helps the podcast grow, please rate, subscribe, and comment. Because that is the easiest way for us to organically grow.
That really annoys me, Clay.
Well, rightly
so. People are so lazy these days. All they have to do is go on, give it five stars, and just say, like, absolute chat.
Yes.
Golden banter.
Yeah.
This is unbelievably good pitter-patter.
Yeah.
On-site chat.
Yeah.
Rig. Chassis. Ooh,
yeah, no, they get the idea. Yeah.
And they just can't be bothered.
Well, hopefully, guys, if you listen, just do it.
No. If you're listening, look at yourself. Look at you, just sat there on the tube, probably got an overhang because you haven't been to the gym this January. Probably not even doing dry January like I am.
Well, talking about the gym.
And you're just sitting there enjoying the banter for free. Sort it out. Seriously.
We're talking.
And if you don't, put this podcast down. There are other people that will make the effort.
We're talking about sorting.
You want to come to the live podcast, do you? Oh, you want to have banter with me? Oh, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see
if I give you some banter back if you haven't put the review down.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you like, subscribe and share?
It's not that hard.
It's not that hard. You want a photo of me? Well, I'm just out having a coffee. Have you liked, shared, and subscribed? You have? Oh, fine. Yeah, no problem. Where are you going later? I know that's the kind of thing I'd say.
Okay,
I'm quite friendly.
We're talking about overhang.
Oh, you want to talk to me in the gym while I'm working out? Have you liked, subscribed, and shared? You don't listen to podcasts. You just follow me on Instagram.
Right, okay.
That's just not good enough.
No, conversion should be higher.
Do you want to come to our live show on the 9th of February? We've got Simon Shaw coming. Okay, cool. Yeah, no worries.
Okay.
Because I'm in between sets.
Are you drinking again?
No. I'm just excited, mate. No, I'm just getting, it gets me
okay,
going.
Okay, we're talking about the gym just to finish off and the overhang.
Yeah.
It is January, the time to be sorting out your shares. And if you are listening, I know you were doing it. You're making some money by renting out your memberships. But just download Afflo and sort yourselves out. Another little thing.
That is an app and a sponsor that embodies this podcast.
It really does. Rig biz.
You make money. And you stay in shape.
Yeah, it's incredible.
It is incredible. And I've got to say, it's really worth looking at the senior team of that company on LinkedIn. They're all in phenomenal shape.
Really? I'm not surprised.
So they actually practice what they preach.
Incredible.
Great to see.
Well, Archie, I've actually downloaded Afflo and I'm going to sort out my share.
I'm going for another wonder and Clapham Common. Just with the sobriety, I really do feel more in touch with my environment and nature. So I'm off. Love and champagne, mate. Actually, I shouldn't say that. Love and water. Love and war.
I don't wanna know about evil. Only wanna know about love. I don't wanna know about evil. I only wanna know about love. Sometimes it gets so hard.